Good morning. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm in this week filling in for Joy Cardine. The Wisconsin Assembly began its debate on the proposed biennial state budget yesterday, and now it appears that the long budget process is coming to an end. The Assembly takes up the budget again this morning, starting at 9 o'clock, so far as we know. And that is going to be the topic, the budget, that is, the topic of our big question this hour. At the end of it all, what does this budget mean for Wisconsin? Is it good or is it bad for the state? We've got two guests that will be giving us their take on the big question. Brian Fraley is with us. He is with the MacIver Institute that bills itself as the free market voice for Wisconsin. And I guess, generally speaking, he supports the budget. Brian Fraley, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for being along with us. Robert Craig joins us as well from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. It bills itself as being committed to achieving social, economic, and social justice. And Robert Craig opposed to the budget. Good morning.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is good to have both of you along. We want to invite listeners as well. Here's our number for that, 800-642-1234, if you would like to weigh in. You can also join us on email, talk@wpr.org. And don't forget that you can always follow Joy Cardine's show on Facebook if you would like. Let me start with, maybe this is an offbeat question, maybe it isn't. And I want to start with Brian Fraley on this. Is there anything about this budget that hasn't been said already?
Well, that's just it. This thing has been debated quite a bit. Probably more people in the state of Wisconsin know about the various provisions of this budget than any other two-year spending plan, at least in my 20 years in political circles. I think that's because of the fact that the stakes are so high and that the approach that's taken with this budget is so different. I mean, we're actually paying the bills for the first time in a generation. We won't be passing on a structural deficit in the next budget.
And Robert Craig.
It's a good question. I would say that at the level of talking about numbers, there's certainly everything has been said that can be said almost. I would say, though, that on the actual impact of the budget, its impact is not fully understood. So, and, you know, when you talk about a huge cut in education, what that actually means in terms of the classroom and in terms of the kind of education kids get is not fully understood. I think the other thing is that there's a lot in this budget that actually devolves power to the executive branch, like gives the health services secretary the authority to make huge changes in Badger Care and other Medicaid programs. There's also the same authority for the child care program. So we don't know the implications of that either. But I would agree with Brian that this has been a more public budget debate with more people following it probably than in recent memory, at least in decades probably.
And Robert Craig, let's start with you on this next question. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the Supreme Court decision from late yesterday afternoon. In your mind, does this change anything in the current budget?
Well, it gets the majority off the hook from having to vote again on the rollback of workers' rights. But I think it's bad for the court. I think it was an atrocious decision. I think your listeners would do well to read Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson's dissent. They did not even follow the normal appeals process where they would have taken evidence and based their decision on facts. And they've essentially said the legislature is above the law and can violate open meetings laws. And they completely ignored the fact that the open meeting law is actually a codification of the constitutional right to open government that's in our state constitution. So I think it's bad for the court, but I think obviously the majority would have passed it again anyway. They just didn't want to. They sort of set up the situation where we'll add it to the budget unless the Supreme Court acts. So it doesn't change the situation very much, but I think it's really bad for justice in Wisconsin and it will lower esteem for the Supreme Court dramatically.
And Brian Fraley.
It was a great decision and one that was widely expected that the Supreme Court would shoot down the lower court in Dane County's view that they could inject themselves into the processes of a different branch of government. One thing that's important from a budgetary standpoint is that for every month that went past without the changes in the bargaining equation being implemented, it was a $25 million bill. So $25 million the state and local governments will save the state actually will save every month that this new law is now in place because it allows them to impose the additional contributions to health care and pension benefits.
800-642-1234 for listeners who would like to join in. You can also use email to get in touch with us, talk@WPR.org. And don't forget, too, that you can take part in our online poll at WPR.org. We've got some questions posted there on the budget overall and some questions as well on some specific budget provisions. We'd like to hear what you think on that. Go to WPR.org and check out Joy Cardine's page there, and you can make your voice heard on our online poll. We're talking with Brian Fraley and Robert Craig this hour. Brian Fraley with the MacIver Institute, Robert Craig, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, about the big question. And the big question this hour is the state budget, as proposed, as likely to be passed later this week, good or bad for Wisconsin? So let's get to that big question. And Brian Fraley, taken as a whole, let's start with you on this. Is the budget good or bad for Wisconsin?
It's great for Wisconsin. It's not fun for Wisconsin. Being fiscally responsible, whether it's in your personal life with your family or as a government body, is rarely fun. Making tough decisions, prioritizing, paying the bills, requires sacrifice, requires pain. I personally am going to be feeling this. I'm not jumping up and down at the fact that my family is going to have to now contribute more for our health care, and my wife will have less take-home pay from her job because she will have to be paying toward her retirement. Yet the health care and retirement package my family has is still better than anything we could purchase in the private sector. So it is great for the state because we're finally paying our bills. We're not going to burden the next generation with the mistakes of the past. We're paying for them now. We're biting the bullet. We're doing what families across the state have been doing for the last few years, paying down the credit card, maybe canceling the cable television, shortening the family vacation, and maybe staying in Wisconsin instead of doing something more elaborate. It's not as fun, but it's absolutely necessary.
And Robert Craig.
We think this is an atrocious budget that moves Wisconsin backwards, actually reverses generations of investment in our education system, our health care system, our mass transit system, and it was not necessary to do this in order to balance the budget. In fact, our organization, Citizen Action Wisconsin, along with 35 other groups, including the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, and the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, did a separate budget, a Wisconsin Values budget, that showed that if large corporations actually made the same sacrifice and the wealthy made the same sacrifice that public employees make in this budget, that we would not have to make these draconian and slashing cuts. In fact, the budget goes the other way. The Walker administration has given over $200 million in tax breaks to the wealthy and to large corporations. We think disinvesting in education, for example, across the board, primary and secondary education, the tech college system, the UW system, and the other cuts in this, the draconian cuts in this budget, will harm the economy dramatically and reduce state revenue in the medium and the long term. And so it's terrible for economic opportunity, for economic security, and actually healthcare security for our seniors and people with disabilities and low-income families. And it's a huge step backwards away from years of investments in Wisconsin's public infrastructure.
And let me ask you this, and we'll start with Robert Craig on this one. Are either of you surprised where this budget wound up?
I mean, it depends what you mean. I mean, we didn't know what Governor Walker would do precisely before he introduced the budget. I mean, there were a lot of hints. Obviously, I'm not surprised that the main frame of the budget hasn't been changed by the Joint Finance Committee once Governor Walker made this play. I'm a little surprised about the magnitude of additional tax breaks for large corporations and the wealthy in this budget, and in a budget crisis like this, and therefore cutting even more deeply into education and health care. I'm a bit surprised by that, but obviously it fits with the worldview that says that we should just throw money at large corporations and the wealthy and hope that leads to economic growth instead of investing in people and investing in opportunity like we've been doing for generations in Wisconsin.
And Brian Fraley.
Well, I would say look at the generations in Wisconsin that have come out of the Milwaukee Public Schools for the last 40 years. It's been one of the most abysmal school districts in the nation, and we've been throwing money at good money after bad. If merely throwing money at a school district would mean that you would get better results, we'd be having Rhodes Scholars coming out by the hundreds out of MPS. Look, what this budget is going to do is it's going to empower school districts to do things that they otherwise couldn't do, and a lot of it has to do with the changes in the collective bargaining. they're going to be able to pool teachers across school, across districts, so that many districts in northern Wisconsin, for example, will be able to teacher share and provide AP classes that otherwise wouldn't be able to be offered. You're going to be able to compensate good teachers better. You're going to be able to pay on merit, not just on how long their butts have been behind a desk. This is going to be, this has sets the stage for the most significant education reform in Wisconsin's history. As far as the tax breaks for businesses and corporations, you know, it's easy to point to a concept of a corporation as this big evil monolith out there that is imposing its will on people. But in reality, what we're doing is freeing, in Wisconsin, we are freeing up capital so that people can hire people to get to work and provide family-supporting jobs. You know, unemployment in Wisconsin, fortunately, is now significantly below the national average, but it's still way too high. And, you know, when you don't have a job and there are no job prospects out there, the concept of spending more on the university system or spending more willy-nilly on the tech college system is it's a fantasy. What you need is an environment where government gets out of the way regulatorily and provides incentives through the tax code for business to spend their capital here, to hire people here. We're seeing businesses move from Illinois. We're going to start seeing businesses move from Minnesota. And existing businesses here have expressed a willingness and expectation that they're going to expand. We are setting the stage through some painful cuts, and there's no way around that. But we are setting the stage for an economic recovery here where Wisconsin can lead the nation.
We're talking about the big question this hour with our guests, Brian Fraley with the MacIver Institute and Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. The big question is, Wisconsin's budget good or bad for the citizens of the state? We'll be continuing the discussion with your phone calls right after this. 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be cloudy. Isolated thunderstorms will be prevalent across most of the state, particularly in the southern portion. These storms could produce some heavy rain. Expect highs in the mid-60s to low 70s. Tonight, cloudy skies, showers likely in the north with a chance of showers elsewhere, lows back down into the mid-50s. And then on Thursday, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, possibly some thunderstorms, highs back up into the 70s. Around Wisconsin, clear skies in Green Bay. It is 60 there. Overcast in Superior and 49. Wausau has some clouds and 59 degrees. It's 61 and partly cloudy in Oshkosh. Overcast in Eau Claire and 58. La Crosse, overcast and 62. Madison, overcast with light rain and it's 60. And Milwaukee, 56 degrees under cloudy skies. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:21. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. For many of us, choosing a mate wasn't a choice as much as an experience. However, after 5 on At Issue, Ben Maron's guest says that mate selection needs to be a little more intentional. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. For the rest of this hour, it's the big question. Big question this hour, what does the state budget as proposed mean for the state of Wisconsin? Is it good or is it bad for the state? Two guests with us this hour. Brian Fraley with the MacIver Institute generally supports the budget as proposed. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin generally opposes it. We'll be talking with them and taking your calls as well. And let's go to the phones now. Mary is with us, and Mary joins us from Green Bay. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Gene, for taking my call, and I commend you on the civility of this discussion. It's just a nice change of pace. I guess my comment is I work in the medical profession, and I just don't think it's well known what a devastating future our young people see before them, that a lot of them are coming out of colleges and the people in their 20s are very, very hopeless as far as their economic future. And I guess I would support the balancing the budget and putting the state back on track. And I'll just relate to you a quick story that I heard yesterday. A client told me that he had a friend, he had just attended his funeral, and he had committed suicide. And he said, oh, my goodness, what happened? And he said, well, he lost his home, he lost his job, and his marriage was falling apart. He said, but that's not all. He said, my foreman at my job site has lost 3 friends to suicide, all in their 20s, in the last 6 months. And I don't think it's well appreciated, the desperation and the feeling of our young people and our people in their 20s, that there is no future for them, that businesses are closing, people aren't hiring, their education doesn't mean as much as it used to do. And if we have to balance a budget and make some hard cuts and hard decisions to get that back on track, I'm all for it. And I am, by the way, a state worker who is going to be taking a big cut, and I'm perfectly happy to do it. So thank you, and I'll take my comments offline.
Mary, thanks for the call. Let's start with Robert Craig on that. Robert Craig, is this budget going to help that sense of hopelessness that Mary says it'll help?
I agree with a lot of what the caller said about the hopelessness. I mean, the big issue really is jobs and the economy, and not enough has been done about that. I don't think this is an issue. It isn't at all of balancing the budget. We support balancing the budget. The question is how we go about doing it. And frankly, throwing tax credits to large corporations without any accountability for them creating jobs, creating family-sustaining jobs, or giving the money back if they don't create the jobs does not create a more vibrant economy. In fact, corporations in this state and country are sitting on billions of dollars that they've not invested since the Great Recession, and giving them more tax breaks does not make them invested. And so, frankly, reducing the quality of the workforce in Wisconsin, which these cuts in education are going to do, actually makes us a lot less economically competitive. And so, I think this budget does not help the economy. It damages it tremendously and is going to reduce opportunity over time, which is precisely what the caller is referring to. We absolutely should balance the budget. In fact, we're required to in state law. The critique of the past has been that too many gimmicks were used, so that was technically a structural deficit. And I think it's good not to have that structural deficit, but we can do that and also not make these draconian cuts in vital public services that are key to prosperity if large corporations and the wealthy also pay their fair share. And we don't, for the life of us, understand not only why the Walker administration won't have them share in the sacrifice, but actually give them a whole lot more money back, over $200 million more back, and $2.2 billion over 10 years, with no accountability for job creation whatsoever.
And Brian Fraley, Mary from Green Bay, says the budget's a good thing.
It is a good thing, especially for young job seekers, would-be job seekers, and especially for young teachers. You know, part of the problem in the education profession is that the starting salaries are not as competitive as many other fields, because the senior members who have been there so long because of steps and lanes and the collective bargaining agreements that have been negotiated over time put a high value on tenure and length of time on the job, and not as much on the quality and professionalism and actual work product of the employee themselves. So young people, especially those who want to get in the education field, are really going to enjoy and reap the fruits of this budget for decades to come. In terms of taxing our way and planning our way and creating a planned economy that forces businesses to invest, meaning taxing them, we've gone down this road. You know, the last budget increased taxes by over $2 billion, increased spending by over $3.5 billion, had a 6.2% spending hike in the last budget, and increased borrowing by over $3.5 billion. The structural deficit was well over $2 billion, exceeding $3 billion by the time we got here, and, you know, we were just putting stuff, we were using one-time money, we were raiding the transportation fund, we were raiding the patient compensation fund, a $200 million sleight of hand, which ended up costing the state of Wisconsin $235 million only 2 years later. You know, it's time to grow up. The games are done, and you're left with two choices. You either right-size government so that you say, you know what, we're not going to spend more than we have, or you go to the hardworking families and the job providers of Wisconsin and say, in this tough economy, we're going to take even more from you. And Governor Walker and the legislative Republicans said, you know what, in this economy, we're not going to go to the job providers that we need, and we're not going to go to the hardworking families who are already struggling and say, give us more. We're going to do less with less because we have to.
Let's take a call now. Jennifer joins us from Stoughton. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that I feel like there's a myth being perpetuated about, you know, the horrible education system in Wisconsin. I think the one speaker did mention the fact that, you know, Milwaukee is in sort of a dismal state, and I don't think people can disagree with that. But I think if we look at the rest of the state, we can actually see some amazing results. And I think what we really need to do is actually look at why Milwaukee is suffering. And there's an excellent book called The Spirit Level. And they talk about how in more equitable societies, you have better results overall in healthcare and education and a number of other things that would indicate that a society is doing well. And I think if you take a look at Milwaukee, you can probably see that there's a number of social inequities that could probably be related to the education system and why there's some failures. And I don't think throwing money at charter schools and private schools and taking money from the public education system is the answer to our problems. I really think we need to address some of our bigger issues.
Jennifer, thanks for the call. Let's start with Brian Fraley on this, and I apologize. We're running up against the clock, so I'll have to ask you to keep it to about 30 seconds. Brian Fraley, good for education, bad for education?
Good, but a missed opportunity. I think you're going to find that the school choice expansion is not as big as it could be. But school choice isn't the panacea. I think empowering parents with more decisions and more opportunities for their kids is the answer. I'm hoping that the legislature and the governor redouble their efforts this summer and fall to pass extensive education reform before the year is out.
And Robert Craig?
Look, an $800 million cut in education does not improve it. And I think the story of Milwaukee, the caller is absolutely right, is both the voucher experiment has failed. It gets worse results over time, according to the research, and it's expanded under Governor Walker, and it's delayed us and distracted us from education reform. The other thing is economic inequality. The deep pockets of poverty that grew up in Milwaukee the last 30 years are the driving cause of the educational problems here, and just cutting the budget more, drastically cutting it, will make matters substantially worse, and in no way will improve it.
Robert Craig and Brian Fraley with us, and we are talking about the big question of the Wisconsin state budget. Is it good or is it bad for the state? We'll be taking your calls after we break for news. I'm Gene Purcell, here today filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. It's the big question this hour, and the big question is Wisconsin's proposed state budget, the one likely to pass later this week. Is it good or is it bad for the state of Wisconsin? Brian Fraley is with us, taking one side from the MacIver Institute. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin is with us as well, and we're also taking your calls. Don't forget, you can also weigh in on our online poll at WPR.org. Just go to Joy Cardine's page, and you will find questions there that you can weigh in on the state budget, including questions on collective bargaining, voucher schools, road projects, and internet service. That's at WPR.org. Let's head back to the phones right now, and Lenny joins us from Madison. Hi.
Morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
I just wanted to ask Brian, if he thinks this is such a good budget, how is cutting $1 billion from education good? And how is stripping workers of their rights, you know, in the workplace, having a say in their workplace, and increasing the contributions of state workers to their retirement fund and increasing their contribution to their health care and whatnot when people can't afford it? I just can't see how that's good. I can't see how it's good that the legislature places itself above the law and the state Supreme Court comes in and puts a rubber stamp on that. I can't see where any of this is good.
All right, Lenny, thanks for the call, and let's start with Brian Fraley on that one. Brian?
Well, having state employees do what workers across the private sector have been doing for decades, contributing to their health care and retirement, is good because it's fiscally responsible for the state, and it's frankly a more just and equitable way to deal with the financial problems that we have right now. To say that it's terrible for the state of Wisconsin to provide a 100% match on the retirement contribution, which is what this is, and talk to 100 people in the private sector, Lenny, and ask them if they would like a 100% match on their contribution to their retirement plan or their 401k, and they would jump up and down. There was probably a time when some of them had a 50% match, but that, for most people, are long gone. In terms of the cuts to education, we cannot continue to just spend. We need to look at the return on investment part of the equation, and that's what this budget does. First of all, it does curtail the spending on education, and it is going to have impacts in districts across the state. There's no doubt about it. Districts do have the ability through the wage and retirement flexibility that they now have and that they will have under new contracts to absorb a great deal of the cuts, but not all. So there are going to be some challenges made. But what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with a system where you can look at the return on the investment, not just the outputs, not just the money going out the door, but what you're getting for that return. And that's crucial, especially when it comes to education. You want to make sure that the money you're spending results in better educational opportunities and better performance for the students involved. You want to be able to recruit the best teachers by maybe providing younger teachers with higher salaries than they otherwise would have. It will take time for the new system to work out, but I think what you're seeing by the diminishing protests up in Madison is that people realize that the sky isn't falling, the world isn't ending as the state tightens its belt. It's a tough but necessary time for all of us in the state.
And Robert Craig, your take.
I think it's about the choices we're making. Everyone agrees this is a tough budget. It's partly a tough budget because revenue is way down because of what Wall Street did. It was not done by state employees. So what we have to understand is if we just focus on the pensions and the health care of public employees, that's misleading because you have to look at their overall compensation package. And public employees for years gave away pay increases in return for better health care and pension benefits. And so you are reducing their compensation by average of 8% in this budget. Now, public employee unions made that sacrifice, conceded it, which is a huge contribution to fixing this budget, because they needed to do that in order to make the point clear that Governor Walker's actual goal was to remove their fundamental rights. And that's what turned around the debate and led to the huge protests. Now, as far as education, I don't think you can argue that cutting $1 billion out of the education system is going to improve our education system. It's going to damage it dramatically. And, you know, large corporations over time are going to make a lot more location decisions based on how good the workforce here is in Wisconsin than some of the tax giveaways that have been thrown at them. I mean, a company will get in these proposals $2,400 to move into Wisconsin. You can't move an individual for that. They'll get $90 to $250 to create a job. Citizen National Wisconsin can't create a job for that. What it means is that any job that's created naturally will simply lead to more money for these corporations, but it won't create a single job. And so we're really damaging everything we need for prosperity by undermining our education system and undermining our healthcare system. And what we're doing in return, letting corporations and the wealthy off the hook, doesn't help the economy at all. It just lets them off the hook. That's the problem.
I want to turn the subject matter a little bit here. One of the topics that's come up in the past week or so has been road projects in the state. Under the proposed two-year budget that is likely to pass, local governments could be required to hire private contractors for certain road projects that cost more than $100,000. And let's start with Robert Craig on this. Your feelings on this particular provision in the bill?
Well, this is just part of the do anything you can to undermine public employees' approach in this budget. I mean, a lot of counties and cities actually use the same public employee crews to clean snow during the winter and then to repair roads during the summer. And so major contributors to Walker and the Republican majorities in the legislature wanted to get the business, to get it from the state. And so now they require for larger projects that you hire out private companies and not use existing public employees on the payroll. I think it's both a terrible idea fiscally, but it's also very mean-spirited. But, of course, the approach to all of our public servants and teachers and nurses in this budget and the Walker administration has been very mean-spirited. This is an extension of that.
And Brian Fraley.
Well, personally, I support privatization, but when it makes sense, and rather than see a mandate on this, I would like to see incentivized approach where you would lean toward contracting out when it makes financial sense for the municipality. And we'll see what the governor's veto does with that provision. We'll see it in a week.
Let's turn to another topic right now. There was also been some discussion in the last week or so on a broadband expansion project in Wisconsin involving WISCNET, the University of Wisconsin, and some projects around the state to improve broadband access. At first, it looked as though the budget was going to cut a certain, a good chunk of that broadband expansion, taking with it almost $40 million in federal money. Now it looks as though a deal of some sort has been reached and that will wind up back in the budget. Brian Fraley, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd rather see it out of the budget. I mean, why is it government's responsibility to do everything that's a good idea? I mean, that is what gets us into a budget problem in the first place. So, I'm on here supporting, in general, the approach taken by Governor Walker and the legislative Republicans, but I don't support absolutely every provision in the budget or in the final plan. I think if you find yourself in agreement with a politician or a political party 100% of the time, then you found yourself not thinking critically.
And Robert Craig.
Yeah, I do agree with Brian's last sentiment about always agreeing with a party or politicians. This is just another example of kind of short-sightedness, where we're giving money back to the federal government. We give the $810 million back for high-speed train. We're going to lose close to $50 million in mass transit money because of the attack on workers' rights. Federal law requires that public employee union rights be protected, and that's why we'd lose the money. And then as far as this broadband, we have a $40 million investment in the federal government. We have a desperate need in rural areas to have more broadband capacity. And because some contributors to Governor Walker and the Republicans in the legislature don't want that done because they can make more profit if you don't fill that capacity, it's taken out of the budget, and we have to give the $40 million back. And this is something that helps schools. There are a lot of local school districts that will get broadband from this investment in UW system. In fact, UW is going to have to give back $40 million. It's already spent, and so actually it's going to raise tuition and harm education in the UW system.
Let's take another call right now. Linda joins us, and Linda is in La Crosse. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out, it's sort of my understanding is that the Budget Committee has inserted a proposal regarding eminent domain changes. Could you guys discuss that?
All right, Linda, thanks for the call. Let's start with Robert Craig on this. I'm not familiar with that particular aspect of the bill. Are you?
I'm not an expert in it by any means, but it's my understanding that it makes it easier to take property away from individuals when you're expanding a highway, building a new highway, other kinds of public projects. So it reduces individual property rights in many cases. And that's really kind of interesting because the conservative movement nationally has been more the defender, the champion of individual property rights. But this is obviously, I think, another example of where the road builders have so much influence and power within the Walker administration that anything they would like is enacted and is put in the budget.
And Brian Fraley.
I can't speak to this provision in general because I'm not familiar with it. I can speak to the issue just briefly in that property rights are a fundamental key to economic freedom. And one of the great things about the new approach in the Wisconsin legislature is the respect for property rights in general in dealing with how much land does the state need to own and what people can do with their own land, how they, site piers, for example, on lakes. So this is definitely something to look into and something I absolutely will get to today.
Let's take a quick phone call from Randy, who joins us from Kewaskum.
Hello.
Hi.
It drives me nuts listening to this about, we're taking away workers' rights. The thing is, public sector workers are not as underpaid as what they were many years ago. In many cases, their base pay is more than what it is in the private sector. What they're getting for benefits far exceeds anything anybody in the private sector gets. I'm a small business owner. I have no benefits other than whatever I can make for myself. I'm lucky if I make $10 an hour the way the economy is. And every time you talk about taxing evil rich corporations, it hits me in the pocketbook. The big corporations get tax breaks from the Democrats, only they use selective tax breaks. If you kiss our rump or do the right things, we give you a tax break and everybody else gets to pay for it. So this is, you know, what they're doing is making things far more equitable. As far as education, there's a lot of waste there. One thing that's a big waste is the increase in the amount of administration in the last 30, 40 years. It's like everything else in the public sector. There's all kinds of extra people and extra waste, and that'd be a real easy way of freeing up some money, is getting rid of some of the dead weight in the administration.
All right, Randy, we'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid, because we're running out of time. Brian Fraley, there's a small business owner who says this is a step in the right direction.
You know, it echoes the comments we're hearing from small business owners throughout Wisconsin. When you talk about raising the taxes on the rich and, you know, people making over $250,000, over $500,000, over $1 million, people have to understand that the majority of small businesses file their income taxes, and the way they take the business income is listed as personal income. So you may, on paper, have an income of $500,000 because it's come through your business. However, your net take-home quality of life is not that of someone in the, you know, working for somebody who's making that kind of money, because you have expenses and the like, the liabilities. So raising taxes on people over, you know, $250,000 a year in annual income, it sounds nice, and it sounds like, well, that doesn't affect me. That only affects the rich people. But it affects the guy down the block who owns the independent coffee store, or the person who owns the landscaping business and snow removal business in town, or the barber, or the lady who does your mother's hair in her salon that she's owned for 15 years or 50 years. You know, tax hikes on the rich impact a lot more people than you think. It's not just going after big white guys smoking cigars in back rooms and lighting them with $100 bills. I mean, that kind of class warfare imagery is just, it's antiquated. That's not how this economy works.
And Robert Craig.
I get it.
Yeah, two different issues. I'm just very concerned in general about how small business people have been misled to believe that public employees are the cause of their problems. The national research shows that before these concessions on health care and pensions, that the Wisconsin public employees make 7.7% less than comparable private sector workers, if you look at their whole compensation package. As far as generally people, shared sacrifice, people paying their fair share, the numbers show that a very small percentage of small businesses in the 1% to 2% range should be affected by raising the top tax brackets. I know that Brian tells a very good story about the local barber and the local beautician, but that's just not reality. And so what it becomes a cover for essentially protecting the wealthiest Wisconsinites from having a shared sacrifice like everyone else has in this budget. In addition, the alternative budget we created with our coalition partners actually makes sure that only large corporations start to pay their fair share, brings their tax burden up to the national average in Wisconsin, and that we only deal with the very top tax brackets. And there are a lot of justifications and arguments that are made to protect the rich altogether and to give them further tax cuts. Same with large corporations. It is essentially saying that they don't have to share in the sacrifice, and we think that's fundamentally unjust, unfair, and will damage our economy because of the massive cuts that are being made in this budget.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I'll give you each 30 seconds for your closing arguments. Budget good or bad? Robert Craig, anything change your mind in this last hour?
Well, I think it was a good discussion, and Brian, you know, made a strong case for his position. I just think that we're at a real turning point here. We have a fiscal crisis that was caused by Wall Street. We can fix this fiscal crisis in a way that has everyone shared in the sacrifice and maintains our historic investments in education, in health care, doesn't raise taxes on low-income workers and low-income seniors, as this budget actually does. But we're not doing that. We've decided to make much deeper cuts than we need to, because not only are we not asking large corporations, the wealthy, to pay their fair share, we're giving them over $200 million in additional tax breaks, $2.2 billion over the next 10 years.
And Brian Fraley, your closing arguments.
Gene, thanks for the opportunity. Robert, thanks for the very civil discussion. I think that, you know, unionized government employees are not the source of all the economic problems in Wisconsin. They're not. But they can't be held on a pedestal and not pitch in. And the source of the problems in Wisconsin, the source of the budgetary problems, is that government spends way too much, takes too much of our money, and tries to do too much. This is the most fiscally responsible budget in the 43 years that I've been living in the state of Wisconsin. and it right-sizes the scope of government. It makes tough decisions to set the foundation for a very prosperous future. And we will find out whether or not this is successful in the next few years as we look at the job numbers in Wisconsin. If this reinvigorates the economy, this will turn out to be a home run.
Brian Fraley, Robert Craig, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Fraley with the MacGyver Institute, Robert Craig, Citizen Action of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the big question: is the proposed two-year budget for Wisconsin good or bad? Your chance to weigh in coming up right after this break at 800-642-1234. We'll give you about 30 seconds to tell us what you think about the state budget. 800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. It is 5 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Time for the sound-off segment of the show. Well, you'll have a chance to weigh in yourself on whether the big question today is whether Wisconsin's budget is good or bad. For our online poll, by the way, 90% of the folks who responded say they are generally opposed to the budget plan. 10% say they are supportive of it. Let's go to Jerry from Genesee Depot. You've got 30 seconds. Is the budget good or bad?
Yes, two things. One is that the rating for Wisconsin's borrowing system has been improved by getting a lower interest rate once they knew that Walker was going to try to do something with the budget. And secondly, the state is no different than a lot of people on the outside who have spent more than they earn and can't make their bills be paid, because the last three administrations have all done nothing really to lower the rate of borrowing, and they just think it can go on forever, and I don't believe that.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call. So there's one in favor of the budget. Leon from Pewaukee is with us now. Hi, Leon.
Good morning. I'm not in favor of the budget. I'm tired of people blaming the public workers. Most people don't understand how those contracts work. That's their wages that are being cut. I'm a small businessman. I also know that small business people, our taxes work in a way that way Brian talked about it isn't the way the real world is. You get all the same deductions that the big companies get, and you don't end up in that high tax bracket.
Leon, thanks so much for the call. And on our online poll questions, by the way, we did have a question there about expanding the voucher program. 87% of the folks who responded to our online poll at WPR.org say they oppose expanding Milwaukee's voucher school program to Green Bay. Only 13% say that they support it. Let's go to Mike now. Mike joins us from Menominee. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I'm in favor of the budget. Public employees will be fairly compensated within the same framework that I am, and it's called supply and demand. I've never been protected by collective bargaining. I haven't needed it. When the employer doesn't pay a fair compensation, the employees go elsewhere. The state, the taxpayers, will gladly pay a fair compensation to public employees. The unions have no interest in the taxpayers. The unions have interest in themselves. So, yes, I'm in favor of the budget.
Mike, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you, and we appreciate hearing from everybody on our online poll as well. Some other results from that: 89% of the people who responded to the poll say they oppose requiring local governments to hire private contractors. 11% say they support it, and the 70% oppose the broadband internet deal. 30% support that. You can find those results at WPR.org. Just look for Joy Cardine's webpage, and you will find it there. Well, that's the big question for today. It was produced by Bill Martins, and we had on-air production from Chris Molina. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to everyone else who called. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can call the radio store. You can also check out our web archives at WPR.org. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.